Welcome to the Chris Cohen Associates Finance and Investing Podcast with your host, me, Chris Cohen, a Wanaka-based investment advisor and avid share market investor. Today, we talk about New Zealand fund manager performance, gold, a listed family tracking app, on-market director buying in Australian shares, and huge water usage by the big tech firms. Starting with New Zealand managed funds industry, and the S&P Dow Jones Indices annual SPIVA scorecard, which included New Zealand equity funds for the first time in the latest report, charts how active fund managers perform against their relative indices. The survey found that 54% of New Zealand funds outperformed the designated index in the latest year, but only 23% managed to outperform over the last 15 years. More than three quarters of New Zealand active managers in the Australian equities category failed to keep up with the S&P ASX 200 index, which tracks the top 200 stocks in Australia, in 2023. The average New Zealand fund performance over the 3 years was negative 2.3%, but was positive 7% over 5 years, 10.5% over the 10 years, and 11.51% over 15 years. On to everyone's favourite yellow metal, and while the gold price shines brightly, gold equities have remained volatile and lagged the gold price amid cost inflation, and also probably in some part due to investors turning their attention to more exciting segments of the market, such as large tech companies like Meta, Google, AI hype poster boy Nvidia, and cryptocurrency Bitcoin, which has been touted as an alternative to gold by some believers. Bitcoin's currently going ballistic and is currently trading around $73,000. Personally, I prefer the coveted physical asset, gold, that has been around since 3000 BC. Over a digital currency favoured by criminals that uses as much power as Argentina to mine. Remember, the saying is good as gold, not good as Bitcoin. If cryptocurrency does become mainstream, it may not be Bitcoin that is the dominant form of payment. As history has shown, it is not always the first business or technology that goes on to become the dominant one. Facebook was not the first social media platform, and Google was not the first search engine. We have a couple of ASX gold miners in our recommended portfolio, and you can find the link to that in the show notes. Turning to director buying, and we start to see more directors buying shares on market in the companies they know well as reporting season winds down and blackout periods for directors to buy shares finish. We won't run through a few of these companies, as we like to take note of this for potential investment ideas. But please note that directors buying shares on market is by no means a sure sign that you should invest, and is just one piece of the research puzzle. Starting with the Australian Stock Exchange itself, and the ASX had one decent-sized director buy for $643,000 worth of shares. And although independent non-executive director Damien Roche probably has a few dollars to his name, it is still a decent chunk of change. The ASX share price is down around $66 from a high of $92 in December 2021 on lower trading volumes and less companies that are looking to list in the current investing environment. Plus, a number of companies have been taken over and gone private recently. Data from EQT Capital showed that in the 12 months through to February, the total number of companies listed on the ASX fell by 106, or 0.5% to 2,183, while new entities fell by 9 to 38. As at the end of February, 110 companies had withdrawn from the ASX this financial year, compared to 75 at the same time last year, EQT also said. In a note, Martin Donnelly, the managing director of client relations at EQT, said that the trend aligns with a global pattern of increasing privatisation, driven by the desire for simpler ownership structures and enhanced capital fluidity. He also said, Australian investors are strategically pivoting towards private markets in pursuit of diversification and higher returns. It will be interesting to see how this trend plays out, especially when share markets stabilise. On to out-of-favour minerals, and lithium and nickel miner IGO Limited had four different directors buy for 14,000, 50, 180 and 300,000 worth in late February. IGO is one of the best low-cost lithium mines as half-owner of the Greenbushes operation. IGO has a solid balance sheet, but is facing headwinds in lower commodities prices and increased operational costs. Picking the bottom of a commodity route is fairly difficult, but IGO could be one to watch for when nickel and lithium prices recover. Moving to lending, and two directors bought Solvar shares on market for 26,000 and 52,000 worth respectively. Solvar is a non-bank lender providing auto and personal loans to lower credit risk profiles. In the half year to December 23, profit was down 43% to 14 million as financing costs squeezed margins. Solvar is not a bad business by all accounts, but it is struggling with higher bank lending rates and is also in the crosshairs of New Zealand's Commerce Commission, which intends to file civil proceedings against the company for giving loans to people who may not have qualified under more stringent checks. Moving on, and staying with an Australian listed company based in the US, and Life360 provides tracking software that lets parents check where their children are. I was always fascinated by this company, but not as a potential investment, just in general, as I always found the idea of tracking family members a bit odd and generally unnecessary. The company is growing users and revenue, but like many technology startups, is still unprofitable and burning cash. I always figured that Google Maps, Apple Phones, or one of the other big tech stocks that are already tracking people on their phones anyway, could come along and do the same sort of thing if the idea proves popular. So far, I've been wrong, price-wise at least, as the company is now trading at around $12 after the price spiked 40% in the 2020 report, which revealed a 33% jump in revenue on higher subscribers. The company will look to expand into the UK and Australia. They are both smaller markets than the US, and I'm not sure Australians or the British would have the same take-up as the Americans. I'm not sure why anyone would need an app that tells you when a family member arrives at a destination or what their average speed was to get there. But just because I don't personally like a product or I wouldn't buy it doesn't mean many others won't. Moving on to one of the planet's most essential elements, and personally I'm a bit concerned about all the power and water, artificial intelligence, AI, and crypto users and will use in the future. In 2022, the latest period for when figures are available, Microsoft increased its water consumption 34%, Google 22%, and Meta, otherwise known as Facebook, increased its water consumption 3% as a result of growing use of data centres. The world's biggest technology companies have substantially increased their use of water to cool down data centres, sparking concerns over the environmental impact of the artificial intelligence boom. These companies have increased their water usage as many millions of people are hooked on and locked into their online services. This precious resource is already strained by aging infrastructure and a growing population, adding to water usage and also more pollution of water. While AI may prove useful in many regards, much of it will be used for things that we don't really need. Humans can be pretty resourceful though, and when we need to be, and hopefully the big tech companies will find a way to use less water or use water in a more environmentally friendly way. Well, that's it for today, and we will broadcast again, not next Friday, but the Friday after.